It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
To be honest with you.
Sure, I want you to.
I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
Well, I didn't downplay it. I actually, in many ways, I upplayed it in terms of action. My action was very strong.
This time, there's no question. Donald Trump is intentionally downplaying the threat from the coronavirus. Trump was discharged from the Walter Reed Medical Center late Monday to continue his treatment for COVID-19 at the White House, despite grave concerns over his health and a warning from his doctor, Sean Conley.
He may not entirely be out of the woods yet.
To recap, Trump was hospitalized through the weekend after announcing Friday that he had tested positive for coronavirus. He underwent three strong treatments, including an experimental antibody cocktail, and his doctor said the president wouldn't be out of the woods for a week. Infectious disease experts expressed alarm that Trump's illness had not caused him to be more realistic about the threat of the pandemic, which has killed more than 210,000 people in the U.S. alone. In fact, Trump seems bound and determined to keep lying about the virus to the American people. Upon arriving at the White House, he staged a photo op, which was quickly turned around into a few promotional campaign videos. He walked up the stairs, stood on the balcony, and almost immediately removed his mask, despite the fact that he was surrounded by a lot of masked staffers and photographers scrambling to get the photo from the photo op. Earlier in the day, in a tweet announcing his upcoming departure from Walter Reed, Trump went on to proclaim, quote, "Feeling really good. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. We have developed, under the Trump administration, some really great drugs and knowledge. I feel better than I did 20 years ago. Hey, Donald, that's from the steroids." Yeah, as of Monday, Trump was still on dexamethasone, a powerful steroid, usually reserved for only the sickest COVID patients. He's also set to receive another round of remdesivir on Tuesday. Joe Biden participated in an NBC town hall in Miami Monday night. Of Trump's stunt, Biden had some concerns.
The only thing I heard was one of the tweets saying that don't be so concerned about all this, essentially. There's a lot to be concerned about. 210,000 people have died. You have, about 1,000 people a day getting the coronavirus, 50,000 a week. I mean, so it's a great concern. I hope no one walks away with the message thinking that it is not a problem. It's a serious problem. It's an international pandemic, and we have 4% of the population and 20% of the deaths.
Now, you may recall about 2 weeks ago, the FDA proposed new stricter guidelines for emergency approval of a vaccine with a new recommendation that clinical trial volunteers be followed for a median of 2 months after the final dose before any authorization is granted. That would ensure the vaccine would not be approved before Election Day. Now, the New York Times is reporting that White House officials are blocking the new guidelines and refusing to allow the FDA to release them, thereby undercutting the government's efforts to reassure the public that any vaccine would be safe and effective. And the CDC has finally updated its guidance to clarify that COVID-19 can spread by airborne transmission as well as by close contact. Now, the White House will not say how many staffers have tested positive for COVID-19. According to White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany, that's because of privacy concerns. But on Monday, McEnany admitted that she'd become the latest Trump aide to test positive. And despite almost daily disclosures of new coronavirus infections among Trump's closest associates, the White House is making little to no effort to investigate the scope and source of the outbreak. The New York Times is reporting that medical experts now say it's highly likely that Trump and at least seven others became infected at that September 26th reception for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. But the White House has decided not to trace the context of the gathered guests and staff, even though it was likely a super spreader event. And finally, after a brief pause to remember the late liberal justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, like clockwork, the Supreme Court started its new term on the first Monday in October, and there were ominous signs right from the beginning. Justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito attacked the Obergefell ruling that made same-sex marriage legal nationally. Thomas said the decision lets courts and governments, quote, brand religious adherents who believe that marriage is between one man and one woman as bigots. Well, if the shoe fits. Oh, Sorry. The statement underscored the shift to the right the court will make if Trump's nominee to replace Ginsburg is confirmed. And the new 5-3 court wasted no time in ruling in favor of a restrictive Republican-backed law in South Carolina requiring voters to have a witness sign mail-in ballots, ruling that that law will be in place for the November 3rd election. The court did say that ballots already sent would not have to comply with the signature requirement. No, this is a tactic designed to suppress the vote of those who have yet to mail in their ballots. Just saying. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.